Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Today, we will focus our conversation back in on the landscape for emerging market equities. Joining me here from the UBS Chief Investment Office for today's episode, glad to welcome back emerging market strategist for the Americas, Jincheng Yu. Jincheng, good morning. Thank you for dropping by, and great to have you back with us.
Thank you so much, Dan. Good morning.
To begin, how have emerging market equities evolved beyond their traditional reputation as high volatility, commodity-driven investments, and what are the main drivers of EM returns today?
Emerging market equities have really changed over the last two decades. So they used to be seen mostly as high sensitivity, high volatility, commodity-driven plays, as you described. So if you wanted exposure to global growth or a rally in oil and metals, you would buy EM. But that's no longer the full story. In recent years, EM stocks' volatility has not been much of a difference from other EMs, including especially the U.S., and today, the MSCI EM index is much more about technology and the AI value chain. Commodity sectors now make up just about 12% of the index, while tech and domestic sectors are the main earnings drivers. What's interesting is that EMs are now firing on multiple cylinders, but the drivers are very region-specific. For example, North Asia is all about tech and semiconductors, while Latin America still has a strong commodity angle. We are seeing a steady improvement in corporate governance and domestic policy frameworks, which means EMs are better equipped to handle volatility and shocks than in the past. Even though EMs are still considered cyclical, a lot of that cyclical exposure is now underpinned by powerful secular trends like artificial intelligence, digital infrastructure, and also energy security. So EMs are really at the intersection of cyclical and structural growth, Ben.
It's interesting to point out how North Asia's tech sector now plays a leading role in the MSCI Emerging Market Index. What's behind this shift, and how sustainable is the current tech and AI-driven growth in EM?
Sure. The rise of North Asia's tech sector has been one of the most important shifts in emerging market equities, as you alluded before. If you look at the MSCI EM index, the combined weight of just the three companies, the top three companies, has jumped from about 7% to 24% over the past decade. So Taiwan's index weight has even surpassed mainland China's for the first time in nearly 20 years, only a couple of weeks ago. Right, and South Korea is now bigger than India in the index. This shift are all about the global AI build-out and the critical role North Asian companies play in the semiconductor and the memory supply chain. Recent earnings reports, specifically the last quarter, show that these companies are seeing strong AI-driven demand, very robust revenue growth, and solid pricing power, especially in places like memory chips, in particular the high bandwidth memory. We expect this sort of up cycle to last at least until late 2027. At the same time, China is also innovating rapidly in AI. With recent launch of advanced large language models being very competitive globally and more accessible due to lower cost, Asia is really cementing its leadership in the next phase of AI, including agentic AI, which enables more autonomous decision-making. However, the rising concentration in the hand of tech names does introduce new risk. If you look at how EM has been performing since around the beginning of the Iran conflict, close to 90% of the V-shape recovery or the V-shape sort of net returns has been explained by three semiconductor companies coming out of South Korea and Taiwan. It makes diversification of cross regions and sectors even more important because as these trends mature, investor focus could shift from just growth momentum to the sustainability of earnings as well, which could be impacted by not just structural, but also more cyclical components such as the ongoing memory upcycle.
Now, commodities still matter for many emerging markets, but their influence is now highly regionalized. Jin Chen, how do you see higher energy prices and supply disruptions affecting different emerging market regions, and what does this mean for investors ultimately?
Commodities are still a big deal for many select emerging markets, but their influence is much more regionalized now. As mentioned before, the overall weight of commodities is in the MSCI index has dropped from over 30% in 2008 to just 12% today. But for regions like Latin America and the parts of Central and Eastern Europe, the Middle East and Africa, commodities are still a critical macro lever. Recent geopolitical tensions, especially in the Middle East, have pushed energy prices higher and brought energy security back into focus. And for net energy exporters like Brazil and Malaysia, higher oil prices are a net positive because they boost FX and also corporate earnings. But for net importers, especially those in Asia, higher energy prices can mean more inflation, tighter monetary policy, and pressure on equity valuations. It's also worth noting that commodities are now seen not only as a cyclical play, but as a strategic enabler for things like the energy transition and AI build-out. You know, EM countries supply a lot of the, for instance, world's lithium, copper, right, and also other critical materials. For investors, it's important to think about commodity exposure in a more targeted way, trying to focus on regions and sectors that are best positioned to benefit rather than just taking broader EM exposure.
Now, just given the rising concentration in tech and AI, as well as ongoing geopolitical and macro risks, how, Jin Chen, should investors think about diversification and risk management within emerging markets today?
Absolutely. Diversification and risk management are more important than ever in emerging markets these days. With so much of the EM index now concentrated in the handful of North Asian tech names, as you mentioned, there is a real risk if those companies stumble or if the tech cycle turns. At the same time, higher energy prices are an ongoing geopolitical risk means that returns can diverge sharply across regions. So our view is that investors should maintain diversified EM exposure, which, you know, includes tech-concentrated markets such as South Korea, but also with a tactical tilt toward those markets that are more resilient in the current environment, like mainland China, like Brazil, and also Malaysia. These markets are better positioned to weather elevated energy prices and benefit from domestic policy support or structural growth trends. So in short, EMs do offer a lot of opportunities, but the key is to stay diversified and nimble.
And as a takeaway in terms of what to look out for, what would you identify as being the big catalysts investors should keep an eye on in the coming months?
Yes, that's very important because there's a lot of there's actually a lot happening that could move markets in the next few months. First, in the probably near term, the Iran peace deal is a big one. Everyone is watching to see how quickly this can happen. That means, you know, worth monitoring how quickly oil starts flowing again through the Strait of Hormuz. If things get resolved and oil shipments pick up significantly, that could also take some pressure off energy prices and help stabilize things for both emerging and developed markets. Another major event is coming up soon, President Trump's visit to Beijing next week to meet with President Xi. This is a high-stakes meeting, and it could have ripple effects across everything from AI competition between the or collaboration, right, between the two largest economies, and to trade negotiations between the U.S. and China, and even how the two countries might work together to calm some of the geopolitical tensions we're seeing around the world. So it's definitely one to watch. On the tech side, I will also keep an eye on how much the big cloud and AI companies are spending on capital expenditures following a terrific quarter. Their investment plans are a huge deal for Asia's AI supply chain, especially for hardware markets in places like Taiwan and South Korea. If CapEx keeps rising, it's a positive sign for the whole ecosystem. And China's growth story is still front and center. Whether China can continue to stabilize its economy matters, not just for China itself, but for the rest of emerging markets too. Think about commodity demand, tech-related demand, and more. If we see signs of sustainability in steady growth, that could be a real boost for emerging market equities. And finally, we can't forget about elections in emerging markets. Several big EMs countries are heading to the polls this year, and election outcomes can have a major impact on policy direction, investor sentiment, and even market volatility. Brazil's election later this year is one example. The results could shape everything from fiscal policy to reform momentum. So it's definitely something investors should keep on their radar. So in short, I say keep an eye on the pending Iran peace deal process and oil flows, the outcome of the Trump-Xi summit, hyperscaler spending trends, and the signs of stabilization in China's growth, and the results of key EM elections. All of this could be important drivers for markets in the months ahead.
Well, Jin-Chen, a lot there to monitor and follow up on, though. Thank you for dropping by today to keep our listeners, our clients informed on a CIO's current thinking when it comes to positioning across emerging market equities. So thank you again for your time today, Jin-Chen.
Thank you, Dan. My pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.